standing as we have our scripture reading. Our scripture reading today comes from Romans chapter 12, and we just sang, "Let my life be proof of your love." The scripture today is focused on love, particularly love in action and what that may look like. So I read the scripture. I invite you to just follow along reading the screen, not out loud, but just follow along. And I've italicized some of those words that I'd like for you to pay particular attention to as we read about love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord." On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and sing your praises. And Lord, as we do, we acknowledge that our responsibility as your children is to reflect your love. So we seek to understand and do that in a way today and the next day and the next that points to you and gives value to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today is the last in a series of sermons that I've been focusing on, we've been focusing on, about valuing other people. Valuing people. And kind of my go-to description of that was that we're to be connectors versus correctors. So just a quick review. The first Sunday of the month, we talked about connectors versus correctors, and connecting means connecting people to Christ. And that's very important, and it's the basis of what we understand Scripture to say, particularly in the Gospel, when it talks about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, the next week, we used the Scripture, the example of the Good Samaritan, and we talked about how to value people. And based on the model of the Good Samaritan, there was compassion, the fact that you recognize need in someone else, that sometimes you're willing to change your plans because of a need that someone has. And then sometimes you're called on to give of financial resources in ways that maybe you weren't planning to do, like the Good Samaritan was. But then one that we often miss is that we're often called to come back and follow up, as the Good Samaritan did. So that was the second week. Then last week, we looked at Jesus and the woman at the well. And that whole purpose, that message in that one was we just need to do it. We just need to value people. We don't need to overthink it. We don't need to try to make sure we have everything. We just need to do it. Jesus had an opportunity at the well, at a place where he met someone who was just there. And there are times that that happens in our life every day. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to make a list. We just do it. Well, today, I want to continue, and our last one is that we encourage others to add value to people as well. As we come to understand what that means and what that is about, we have a responsibility to help others see that as well. But we don't just tell them, we need to model it. So I want to talk about what it means to encourage others to add value to people. And I think it can be summarized in three words. And these three words, in different ways, we have talked about them in the past 3 weeks. And we'll talk about them more today. The first one is compassion. Compassion is something that we as the body of believers need to have, need to show. And it's not just compassion and care that comes from us in our humanity, but it's the compassion that comes through us from God to other people. There's a saying that is a famous one that I like a lot, and you've probably heard me say before, and it's, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So in a minute, and my next point is, there's some things that we need to be able and willing to share. But if you just go up and you start sharing with somebody and you don't have that relationship with them where they know you and they understand how you can relate to them, how you can care to them, they aren't going to be as open to hear what you have to say. And so often that compassion is where we need to begin. And that was modeled to us by both the Good Samaritan and by Jesus Christ. So we have the compassion. And then the next word that I want to throw out is competence. Competence is showing that you have something to offer. And if you remember last week, we talked about that Jesus mentioned to the woman at the well, he referred to her saying that if you knew the gift of God in your life, you would be asking me for living water. So the thing that we have to know the gift of God in our lives. That's the competence. Now, we can have compassion, and there may be ways we may be able to help, and that's good, and people can do that aren't believers. But if we're going to offer value to people in the way God wants us to, we have to know the gift of God in our life, and it has to be able to be revealed. How is God a part of your life? That doesn't mean you go up and you start, first time you meet somebody, giving them your testimony. You need to be able and willing, when God gives you the opportunity and calls on it, to know how God's at work in your life. But it means that God becomes evident in the way that you interact with other people, and they know that there's something that's different. There's something that's beyond just you that people begin to connect to. I'm going to mention this again, but I want to mention it now so you begin to get it. It's about connection versus correction. And people may begin connecting to you because of the compassion. People may begin connecting to you because of them seeing something different in you. But in terms of connection versus correction, the goal is not for other people to connect to you. The goal is for other people to connect to Christ. Because you can't give other people what they need. We speak value into people's life, but that value isn't because of who we are, it's because of who God is. And so we're gonna complete this circle, but remember that connection is about a connection to God. So the third one is character. We need to be able to demonstrate trust. This is a challenging thing in the world that we live in today. It's something that I believe people yearn for. It's what I would call being a person of integrity. And integrity, the best description I've ever heard of it, is it's defined by what you do when no one else is looking. A person of integrity. Because when no one else is looking, you can get by with things, you can do things, you can accomplish, you can... It's not going to really matter, but it does. And that's what being a person of integrity is. And if you're a person of integrity, even though people don't see you when no one else sees you, they know that. They begin to pick up on that. You think about it. I don't want any names, but you think about it. Is there a person you know that you believe has so much integrity that if they had an opportunity somewhere, nobody else was going to see it, and it was something that was going to greatly benefit them, but it just may not be exactly right, you have no question they wouldn't cross that line. That's what integrity is. That's what people today need in terms of a type of person that's going to speak value into them. Someone who has compassion. Someone who has competence. They have something to offer them. And then someone who has character. Someone who's going to model what it means to have a relationship with Christ. I'm not going to read the whole passage again, but I'm going to just mention some of the words that were in Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. And I believe that as we seek to be someone who values people and exemplify the love of Christ, these are the type of words that should be able to describe us. Sincere, that we honor one another, that we have spiritual fervor. You know what fervor is? Spiritual enthusiasm. We get excited about what it is that God does. And Linda gave, I think, a good example of that for me today. And I've had this happen in my life at times, too. I don't really believe in consequences that much either. And so when something happens, particularly something comes across once, twice, three times in a pretty short period of time, it piques my interest. And I ask God, is there something here that I'm supposed to be doing with this? And sometimes I get a clear answer and sometimes I don't. But I think God works in those ways, and I believe wholeheartedly that God wanted Linda to share that scripture today for some reason. And if it was for one of us to hear, I hope we had ears to hear it this morning. But that happens every day. So spiritual fervor, being enthusiastic and engaged in serving God. Another one on verse 12, it talks about being joyful in hope. Talk about valuing people. How many people can you think of, maybe you ran across them last week, maybe they're part of your family, that need hope? But this doesn't just talk about hope. It talks about being joyful in hope. So not just saying we can hope this is going to happen, but there's a sense of there's something bigger than us, and God is a part of this, and there can be joy in this, and even in our struggle, there can be blessing. That's joy in hope. And it also, you know what that does, talking about joy and hope and valuing people? There are times that not just people need to be valued, but their struggle needs to be valued. Does that make sense? Because some people, they're going through something and saying their life is just horrible. And it's for naught. They wish they had never even been born. I've heard people say that because their life is so bad. And sometimes we need to have hope that gives hope, joy, meaning, value to the struggle that they're in the midst of. And if you know the gift of God in your life, you've experienced struggles that God's been a part of, so you have competence and you have something to be able to offer people that often the world isn't able to offer. So, joy and hope. Patience in affliction goes along with joy and hope. Faithful in prayer. Sharing with people who are in need. Practicing hospitality. Blessing those who persecute you. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you blessed someone in a good way? I don't mean blessed them out. I mean you blessed someone. You prayed for someone. You did something for someone who had done something harmful or not nice or said something not nice towards you. You know, we as believers are to be in this world but not of the world, and that could very well be one of the defining marks for us as believers, one of the many, But this one should be one that causes people to look. You mean Ray did this? He helped change a tire for one of his customers who cussed him out last week because he didn't get a package delivered when the customer thought he should be. And then somebody else sees that. And then what does it do for that customer that just cussed Ray out last week? That's not of this world. That's somewhere else. And that's valuing people that need to be valued when it's not an easy thing to do. Do not be proud and then live at peace with everyone. These are not things you can just read and say, okay, I've got my checklist of what it means to love and what love in action is and how I'm going to do a better job at valuing people. You can't just look at this and go out and do it. We can't do this on our own. It's only God through us that this type of thing can happen. So, in closing, this whole thing, I need to bring it together in a particular way. I began with talking about connecting to Christ with the whole thing. I began with talking about connecting with Christ this morning. Now I want to close in terms of connecting with Christ. The value that we speak into other people cannot be about us. It can't be about drawing people to us. It's got to be about the value in Christ. It also, people struggle. What do people, you tell me, what do people find their value in today? What makes them who they are? What defines people today? What is it? What is one of the first things that you ask a guy when you meet him? His job. What do you do for a living? That tends to be a defining thing. Another thing, particularly with females, the world does, you're defined by your looks. Whether you want to be or not, some people put you in that box. And then you can also be defined by your relationships, who you hang out with, who you spend time with, who you're married to, who your children are. All those things play a part, but it's not where our identity is supposed to be. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. But if you have time, I'll really encourage you sometime or another just to take time to read through Paul's letters. There's a lot of good stuff in there, but there's one thing I want you to pay attention to. How many times Paul refers to being in Christ. Being in Christ or being in the Lord, which talks about where our identity is. It's not talking about being in your job. Not talking about being into how you look. Not being into the, but he talks about being in Christ. And that connects our identity to Christ. It's over 150 times, and I don't know exactly how many times, but I know it's over 150 times Paul talks about being in Christ. That's where our identity is supposed to be. When we recognize our identity in Christ, then we allow God to work through us to provide a connection to other people. And I want to try to make this clear, but it's really important. Our joy, our happiness, true joy and happiness cannot come from anywhere else. It can for a short period of time. It may be in our job, and we do a good job at what we do, and we get pats on the back, and we're making a difference in the world that we live in by the job we do, and we can feel good about that. But that job is not going to last forever. Even people who live and retire, there are some people who just struggle and they get so depressed after they retire because they don't have meaning in life anymore, because that's where it's been. Our identity has to be in Christ. Sometimes people, and I've heard this having been a youth pastor, and it happens with males and females, they think if they can just find the right person, if this girl can just find the right guy, or if this guy can just find the right girl, it's going to make everything better and everything's going to be okay because everything's going to come together. It doesn't work that way. What makes a difference is when you have your identity in Christ and you come together and you become one in a way that enables God to be who God wants to be in both of your lives. So, here it is. Scripture says several places in the gospel that you're to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And I told you when I began, when we began the first time of this, that was a response that Jesus gave when officials ask him, "What do I do to inherit eternal life?" That's how important it is. It's referred to as the two greatest commandments. But it also, Jesus answers the question of what do I do to inherit eternal life when he said, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But also to love your neighbor as yourself. And we've talked for 4 weeks about how to love our neighbor, how to value our neighbor, and they need it, and you know it. You can think of a dozen people right now that you encountered last week who need to know love. That doesn't mean that you have something specific that you have to decide now you're going to go and do, but you need to be available when God calls you. And then there are other people that are growing, and what my thing is today is I want us to realize that we have opportunity not just to make the difference in the people we meet, but help other believers, other people we're close to realize that part of that, their calling, is also to value people, to love their neighbor as themselves. But you have to love yourself, and you can't love yourself fully if you don't understand that relationship with God. So I invite you today. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on back up. And as we sing, the altar's open. I'm here to pray with anyone that would want to. But move as God would lead. Are there areas of compassion, competence, character that you're feeling nudged in, and you need to spend some time with God on understanding what that may look more like in your life? Maybe there's some people that you know need more of a priority. Maybe there's even some enemies that are persecuting you that somehow or another you need to deal with in a different way. And you know what? It may be more about you than it is them, because their persecution is causing you to become and be a person God doesn't want you to be. But if you can turn that around, it may not change them one bit, but I promise you it'll change you. Or maybe you just need to know what it is to love yourself, because you cannot love your neighbor until you love yourself and understand God's love for you. Whatever it is, however God's moving, respond today as we stand together and sing.